Morning, Thomas.
Who dressed who? Did you dress your wife or did your wife dress you?
My wife always dresses me to the appropriate colors. Yeah. I will begin officially by saying Happy Mother's Day, moms. Today is May 14th in the year of our Lord, 2023. I would also ask, we have any joggers out here? You jog? Okay, good. Today's message has a unique title of, it's not only Mother's Day, but it's Marathon Day. Because we're all running a race. And Paul, when he wrote his letters, he used illustrations from the world to communicate truths about Christian life. Four came to my mind pretty quickly. One was military. Put on the whole armor of God. Another was an architecture. You are the temple of God. Agriculture was used. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And he used athletics. All run in the race, but only one receives the prize. Today's scripture, we're going to see that athletic picture in Paul's writing. And it appropriately applies to us. But understand this, Paul's not telling us in this scripture how to be saved. He's not telling us that because in the Greek games, in order to participate and be an athlete in those games, you had to already be a citizen. You didn't run to gain your citizenship. We don't run in the Christian race to gain our citizenship. We're already citizens of heaven. If you've accepted Christ, you're God's child. And because we're already a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility of running the race that's set before us and achieving the goals that God put before us. Not my goal. What is God's goal for me in my life? What is God's goal for you in your life? That's the race you're on. Every believer is on the track at the same time. And each believer has a special lane that they're supposed to run in. If you watch the Olympics, you will see that everyone has to stay in their lane. We have to stay in our lane. We have a goal to achieve set by the Lord. And just because there's another Christian right next to you running side by side, now it could be a brother, could be a sister, could be a mom, a dad, that person's goal just might not be the same as yours. You're running in the same direction, but what God has in mind for him might not be what he has in mind for her. That Christian is listening to God directing him, just like you're supposed to be listening to God directing you. And both of you aren't necessarily hearing the same thing. You may, but you may not. If we reach the goal that God has set for us, Scripture says we get a reward. If we fail, we lose the reward. We don't lose our citizenship. If you've accepted Christ, you don't lose that. It's just like everyone in the Olympics that loses and doesn't get the gold medal. They're still a citizen of the country that they represented. Now, all of us want to be winners. Does anyone want to be a loser? I never like to lose. Although it has happened. When my boys were small, I could beat them in basketball. And then when they grew a little older and taller, I lost all the time. I was still their father. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians. Yeah. Philippians. You see, it come out that way because this morning I was saying, how am I going to work into this? And I'm going to say, it's the book right after Ephesians. But I skipped that, but the E still come out. So, but in Philippians chapter 3, that's where we are. We go chapter by chapter most of the time here. In chapter 3, we're going to examine five essentials for winning the race that's set before us and one day receiving the promised reward. Now, interesting enough, all five essentials begin with the letter D. So if you never got any D's in school, you're going to get five D's today. Okay. We've already started chapter 3, so we're going to pick up here in verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." I'm not going to finish that yet. Now, he says, this is the Apostle Paul, "I'm not there yet. I haven't attained the goal God has set for me." So he has, the first essential is dissatisfaction. He's not satisfied with himself. And a statement of a great Christian is a statement that says, "I never permit myself to be satisfied with my spiritual attainments." Be satisfied with Jesus Christ, yes. Don't be satisfied with where you are in your Christian walk. If you're satisfied right where you are, you will never advance any further than that. Now, it proves out in athletics. An athlete who wins the gold medal in the Olympics was never satisfied with his performances during his training sessions. "I didn't jump high enough. I didn't run fast enough. I didn't press enough weight." And they kept pushing and pressing and pressing and pressing on. And so did their opponent. Many Christians today are satisfied. They're satisfied with themselves. "I'm good." And they're satisfied with themselves because they're comparing themselves to someone that's weaker than them. And so they look good. Paul, if he compared himself with others, he would have been tempted to be prideful with everything that he accomplished. He would have been tempted to let up and say, I've done enough. I don't have to do any more. But no, he compared himself and with Jesus Christ. And he says, I have not arrived yet at perfection, verse 12. When I play golf with my sons, I play against me. All the time against me, not against them. The mature Christian honestly evaluates him or herself and then strives to do better. Now, in Scripture, we are warned against a false estimate of our spiritual condition. What does Paul say? Don't think too highly of yourself and think of everybody else as higher than you. In Revelation, the church at Sardis thought pretty high of themselves. It says, you have a name that you are alive. Jesus says, but you're really dead. You see, they had a reputation, but they had no reality at all. The church at Laodicea boasted that they were rich. God looked at them and says, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. The believers at Smyrna, they thought they were poor when Christ says, you're really rich. So it goes both ways here when you do this evaluation. Samson thought he was still the strong man until he got up that battle and found the Lord had left him and he had no strength. Self-evaluation can be dangerous. We can err in two different directions. We can make ourselves better than we are, or we can make ourselves really worse than we are. And Paul, he had no illusions about himself. He says, I still have to go forward. I'm not there yet. In a little bit more of verse 13, he says, but one thing I do. There's the next one. Devotion. One thing I do is such an important phrase in the Christian life. If you read about that phrase in Scripture, you see that one thing you lack, said Jesus to the self-righteous rich young ruler. One thing is needful, he said to Martha. One thing I know, said the man who received his sight from the power of Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 27, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Too many of us are involved in too many things. The secret of progress or success is to concentrate on one thing. Before the tragedy of the Chicago fire back in 1871, a man was involved in Sunday school promotion, YMCA work, evangelistic meetings, along with other activities of youth and families and after the fire, he determined to devote himself exclusively only to evangelism. This one thing I do, became the sole mission of D.L. Moody. And as a result of that, millions of people heard the gospel. The believer must devote himself to one thing, running the Christian race. And no athlete succeeds by doing everything. Oh, you can get by maybe on a couple. But he succeeds by specializing. And the winners are those who concentrate. They keep their eyes on the goal. And they let nothing distract them. James tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And Paul goes on in the rest of verse 13. He says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And so number three on the D list is direction. An unsaved person is controlled by his past. The Christian that's running the race looks toward the future and runners in a race. All right, you're a runner. You never look back. You never look behind you. It slows you down. It distracts you and breaks your focus. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, he says, no one that puts his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We cannot run the Christian race and look behind us. We have to be future-orientated. Paul words it, forgetting those things which are behind. Now keep in mind, Bible terminology is not always Webster's terminology. To forget in the Bible does not mean to fail to remember. It means to no longer be influenced by or no longer to be affected by. In Hebrews 10:17, when God says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more, God is not suggesting that all of a sudden he's going to have a loss of memory. He's God. He knows everything. What he's saying is, I will no longer hold your sins against you. Our sins will no longer affect our standing with God. It will no longer affect how he treats us. And how many Christians do you know that are shackled by regrets of the past? They just won't let go of it. They're trying to run the race of Christ looking backwards. And what happens? You can't see where you're going. You stumble, you trip, you fall. You get in the way of another runner in the lane beside you. Now, some are distracted not by their failures of the past, by their successes of the past. And that gets in their way. It's just as bad. The things that are behind have to be set aside so that the things that are before take their place. Now, it's possible to have the dissatisfaction. That's a good thing. It's possible to have devotion. Yep. And direction. That's good. And you can still lose the race. You miss out on the reward. Because you also have to have determination. Verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the prize. That indicates a very intense effort. Think of a hunter He's hungry. And he's eagerly pursuing his prey. If he doesn't get his deer, he doesn't eat that night. He presses on. A person does not become a winning athlete by listening to motivational speakers, by watching movies, reading books. He also doesn't become a winner by going to the games and cheering others on. You get to be a winner by getting into the game. Put me in, coach. I can do it. I'm ready. And he's determined to win. Second place is not good. I will win. I will keep my eye focused on the finish line. Now, there's two extremes here that you've got to avoid. And one, I have an issue with. I can do it all. I can do it. And the other one is, God must do it. No. The Christian runner with the spiritual mind realizes that God must work in us if we're going to win the race. True. But he also has to work through us. As we apply ourselves to the things of the spiritual life, it's God that matures us and strengthens us so that we're able to finish the race. But again, you have so many Christians that are just so busy dying to self that they never get back to life. And they never run the race again. Others are so sure that they can make it on their own that they stop reading God's word. They stop praying. They stop asking for the Lord's power and help. So we come up with one question that we all ask ourselves. Toward what goal am I pressing on with spiritual determination? What goal is in front of me? It has to be, it must be the prize of the high calling of God. And so as we read a couple more verses here, and I'll wind down, Paul says, therefore let us, this is 15:16, as many as are mature to have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. The end does not justify the means. It's not enough to run the race hard with determination and focus and direction and win. We have to obey the rules. So discipline's required. That's the last one. Discipline. 2 Timothy 2 says, no athlete is crowned unless he competes according to the rules. These are God's rules. We have to read them. We won't know the rules. The issue is not what we think. The issue is not what the spectators all think. In competition, the issue is, what does the judge say? And one day, each of us, every single Christian, is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And that word in Greek for judgment seat is bema. Bema is the exact same word that is used to describe the place where the Olympic judges stood and gave out the prizes to the winners. Same word. So if we have the discipline to obey the rules and compete and finish the race, we receive a prize. If anyone's work, 1 Corinthians 14, if anyone's work, which is built, endures, he will receive a crown. That's a promise. But Bible history is so filled with people that began the race well and with success, and they failed. They failed because they didn't follow the rules, God's rules. They didn't lose their salvation, but they did lose their reward. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, if anyone's work is burned, he's going to suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. It happened to Lot. It happened to Samson. It happened to King Saul. It can happen to us. But it's exciting to run the race daily, looking to Jesus. Isn't that an exciting race to be in? It's going to be even more exciting when we experience that upward calling. When Jesus comes in the air and he says, come up here. And he takes us all to heaven. We're going to finish that next week. Heavenly Father, as we run the race that you set before us and the goal that you have put in front of each one of us eyes, that you would give us that 5 D's to win the race. And that way there's more than one winner. Every single Christian in the race can be a winner. And strengthen every one of us. And give us that wisdom and desire and that inner joy that comes from living only for you. And whatever the results are, Lord, we surrender to you. You are in control. If I have to crawl the last mile of the race, Lord, then harden my knees so that I can still make it. Bless every mother today, Lord, and bring a special blessing upon them this week that they didn't expect. Something they only you can think of for them. And we come to you in Jesus' name, amen. What, Tom? I'm hard of hearing, Thomas. I'm sorry.